Do. I know we've had Pastor David Borg with us Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. He is an associate pastor at Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge at Jimmy Swaggart's church. He's one of the associate pastors there. And also he teaches at the Bible College there. And so I want to tell you, last night was phenomenal, the word that came forth. And we do want to thank him for being obedient with that. But without further ado, let's give a hand to Pastor Borg. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. I want to say what a privilege it is to be here and to celebrate with you your fifth anniversary. And, you know, to start a church in a place where, I mean, it's kind of the middle of nowhere. I'm just being honest. It takes some faith, and it takes some backbone, and I appreciate that. You know, I before the service started, and I just kind of went outside. It is such a beautiful day. Just kind of went outside, and as soon as I walked out the door, I just felt impressed in my spirit. I just kind of breathed a prayer to the Lord, and I said, God, this place that is in the middle of nowhere, I just pray that you draw them, Lord, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Bring them into this place, Lord God, this beacon of light, this place that is lifting up Jesus Christ, preaching the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God is able to do it. God could take a place like this and do something spectacular here that could be such a testimony of His power and of His glory and be a habitation of His Spirit. Not that He dwells in a building, but He dwells in His people. You are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God dwells within you. And I want you to agree with me right now. I'm going to do something. I didn't really intend on doing this before we get into the Word. I want us to stand this morning. And I want you to agree with me that God is going to do just that. I just have to be obedient to the Lord. I want you to exercise your faith this morning. And we're going to pray the prayer of agreement that God is going to do just that by the power of the Holy Ghost. He's going to draw them, no matter where they are, spanned across this farmland for many miles, that the Holy Ghost would pursue them and draw them. Father, we're asking right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we agree together, Lord God. Your Word says, if any two shall agree touching anything, that it shall be done according to my Father which is in heaven. And Father, we stand in agreement right now as the body of Christ, Lord, that the Spirit of God would draw them, Lord God. Draw them into this place, this beacon of light. Lord, that there would be a hunger placed within their heart, that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would pursue them. And Lord, from the north, from the south, from the east and from the west, that they would be drawn in to those who are called to be a part of this assembly and a part of this church, Lord God. Draw them by the power of your Spirit, O Lord. Father, we believe it by faith right now that you're doing it, Lord God. Lord, that this place may be a testimony of what you can do. A testimony of your glory and of your power, O God. A beacon of light. A place that is lifting up Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We believe it today, Lord God. And we say it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just slip up your hands, hallelujah. Just worship Him this morning. Glory to God, glory to God. And Lord, we, hallelujah, Lord, we continue to agree together that Satan would give them up. He's the ones that he's holding in bondage. That he would give them up in Jesus' name. From the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. Give up and let God's people go. Hallelujah. That the Holy Ghost would be loosed to pursue them and draw them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. Father, we praise you for it. Lord, we're believing for a harvest of souls. We're believing for a harvest, O God, to come forth. As this family has stepped out, this small body has stepped out in faith, Lord God. Lord, and in their faithfulness, Lord. Lord, that you would bless them abundantly so. Meet every need. Provide for them, O God. Encourage them and strengthen them, O Lord. Lord, may their lives be a testimony of your glory and of your power, O Lord. Lord, that this place would be a habitation of your Spirit, O God. As the Spirit of God dwells within your people. Hallelujah. And that Christ be high and lifted up as a beacon of light in a darkened world. Father, we thank you for it today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. You believe that with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm believing that the Lord is going to do great things. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to leave you with an encouraging word this morning. I want to while you're turning there, after the service, if you would look over the product that I brought there. I brought that because I believe it'll be a blessing to you. There's books. We got some Bibles, some DVD, CD combos, music, CDs. We got Joseph and Grace's latest CD and whatever else is there, the new Children's Bible. Anyhow, look it over and see if there's something. You know, Christmas is coming up. You can slip a CD or something in that Christmas gift that you give to someone, and it'll be a blessing to them. Amen? So take advantage of that. I've got credit card slips as well if you want to use that. Revelation chapter 3. I want to look at one of these churches. We're going to look at the Philadelphia church. There are seven churches that Jesus addressed, and the Philadelphia church being the sixth church that he dealt with. Incidentally, Philadelphia meaning brotherly love. There were two churches that Jesus, he had no negative, he had no condemnation, no indictment toward, no rebuke, no correction toward. And the church of Philadelphia was one of them. And commentators refer to it as the missionary church from the year 1700 to the present time. It's considered the faithful church in all ages. It's a representation. I believe that all of these churches represent in some fashion, in some form, the church of today. And this one represents the faithful church. You have the Laodicean church that it would represent the apostate church. I believe that there are two churches right now that are running synonymous with one another, if you will. You have the Laodicean church, and then you have the Philadelphia church. The Laodicean church is, just as I said, the apostate church. It's the church that does not magnify Jesus Christ, does not recognize the blood, does not recognize what he did on the cross of Calvary. It's a religious church. As it says here, it says that they say that they're rich and increased with goods concerning the Laodicean church. They have need of nothing, but they know not that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, that's the thing about the apostate church is that they think that they are rich. They think that they are in right standing with God, but in reality, the Lord says that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. In other words, you're void of that which is true and that which is real in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not clothed with Him. You're naked. You're blind. You can't see. But the Philadelphia church, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. I didn't come to preach on the Laodicean church. I just wanted you to be aware of that, that there are two churches that are running parallel right now in the age that we live in. And thank God that He has a remnant, though. Amen? The Philadelphia church is that remnant church. It's the remnant church that lifts up and magnifies and worships Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, the crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord of glory. That's the faithful church. That's the remnant church. Unfortunately, that way is narrow that leads to life. The way is broad that leads to destruction. Depicting once again that this way that we go in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a narrow way and there's not many in it. There's never going to be a multitude. It's always going to be a remnant. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3. And I'll begin reading in verse 7. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou have, and let no man take thy crown. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for these people, Lord God. I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in this place. Pray, Lord, Your blessing rest upon them. Your hand rest upon them. Your good and perfect will be done in each and every one of them. Lord, we commit this time into Your hands, Lord God. We pray that Your Word, Lord God, would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we're asking once again that You would open up the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, that we may know what is the hope of Your calling and the glorious riches of the inheritance in the saints, God. God, we commit this time into Your hands. Give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see, that You may be glorified, that You may be magnified. We say it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy." I want you to know something today, that this God that we serve, that He is a holy God. The angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, they are crying out to Him, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This God that we serve, He is set apart from this earth and from this world. He is set apart from this world and its system. You know that the Bible says that we also are to be holy as He is holy. Amen? "Be ye holy, for I am holy," meaning that we also are to be set apart from this world and set apart unto Him. But this God that we serve, He is holy. And then it says, He is true. This God that we serve, in fact, Jesus would refer to Himself as the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no falsehood in Him. There is no lies in Him. There is nothing that is crooked or anything that is self-centered. Everything is truth. There is no lie in Him. He's true. This God we serve is true. He's holy and He's true. He that is holy, He that is true. He does all things well. He does all things right. He does all things according to His will and His counsel. He does it because He knows what is best. He's true. He's holy. Then it says this, He has the key, He that has the key of David. That speaks of His authority. The key of David was a literal key. You can see that in Isaiah 22:22. It was a literal key that the treasurer of Israel had. He had that key because he had access to all of the provisions of God's people of Israel. Speaking of authority, this God that we serve, He has all authority. You need to know that today. He's in charge. He's in control. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke them into existence. He has all authority. There is no demonic spirit, no principality, no power, any darkness of this world that God cannot overcome. He is the one who has all authority. He has the key of David. You need to have that established in your heart. He's in control. He knows what He's doing. He's in charge. And if you let Him, He'll be in charge of your life. Amen. The one who has all authority. It says, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. You know, God opens up doors. He opens up doors for us. And when He opens up a door, no man, no flesh can shut that door. We need to know that. When God opens a door, when that door is open, no man, no flesh can shut that door. If you'll continue to obey Him and continue to live in Him, that door will be open as long as it is of Him. On the other hand, if He needs to shut a door, He'll shut it. And if He shuts a door, no man can open it. You see, you can't go wrong when you covenant yourself with the living God, with Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. You cannot go wrong because He will guide you, He will lead you, He will direct your footsteps, and He will open up doors before you, and He will close doors before you. Meaning that He will lead you in His will. He will direct you. He will guide you. He'll lead you in the way that you should go, and He will open up that door before you. That which is of His will and that which is of His counsel. So, this God that we serve, He's holy. He's true. He has all authority. And when He opens a door, no man can shut it. And when He closes a door, no man can open it. You serve a powerful, almighty God. You serve a God that is in control. You serve a God that when you give your life to Him, you cannot go wrong. He does all things well. He's the God of gods and He's the King of kings. And then Jesus says this in verse 8 to this church. He says, I know thy works. Remember, He knows all. He's God. He's in charge. He's in control. I know thy works. Now, in this case, it is a positive thing because He says, I know thy works, and their works were good before God. But what we need to understand and we need to see is that God sees all. He knows our works. Meaning, He knows that which is birthed by Him, that which is of His Spirit, and then He knows that which is of the flesh. He knows the motives of our heart. You know, we could be doing things, going through the motions of our Christianity and going through the motions of our religion and doing the Christian thing, doing the religious thing, and it may look good in the eyes of others, but God really sees the heart. God sees the motives of your heart. He sees whether what you are doing is done in obedience to Him and birthed by His Spirit. You see, the Bible talks about good works and it talks about dead works. Good works are those works that are based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, you being led by the Spirit of God, living your life in obedience to the Lord, and living in His guidance, in His dominion, in His lordship, and the Spirit of God having His sway in your life and Him working through you. You see, that's a work of the Spirit. But a work of the flesh is when we step out in our own strength and we try to live for God, we try to do the Christian thing, we try to live out our religion, but we do it after the flesh. God knows your heart and He knows your works. You need to know this today, that every one of us as believers, I'm just going to assume, and only God knows the heart, I'm going to assume that everyone in here is born again. Every one of us who are born again, we will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. You will be judged. There will be a judgment for the Christian. It will be a judgment of works. And when you stand before Him, God is going to play before you your entire life. And really what you're going to be judged by is, did you live your life in the context of My Son, who He is, what He did on the cross? Are you living by the Spirit of God? Or did you live your life by the Spirit of God? Or did you live your life according to the flesh? You see, there's such a thing as a carnal Christian, you know. Paul talked about it. The Corinthian church, he said, I cannot speak unto you as though you are spiritual, but as unto carnal. They were Christians. Born-again people, accepted Christ, but they were carnal. They were leaning, fleshly, that's what that means, carnal. They were leaning upon their flesh. They were not a Christian who said, I'm committed to God, and I'm committed to His will, and I'm committed to live by the Spirit of God. I'm committed to yield my life to Him and to live in Him. That wasn't their testimony. It was, yeah, I'm born again, but I'm just going to do my own thing now. I'm just going to live my life the way that I want to. Carnal. There's two types of Christians in every church. There's those who are spiritual and those who are carnal. In every church, two types. But God knows the heart. He knows really what's going on. He's looking at our hearts. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at my motives. And one day we will all stand before Him and He will determine whether or not we were obedient to Him in all things, and that we lived our lives according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. He knows your works. I know thy works. Behold, He says. That word behold itself has powerful implications. Behold, it means to know. I want you to know something here. God wants you to know something today, to know something, to be aware, to understand something. You need to apprehend something. You need to understand something. You need to be aware of something. When Jesus says, behold, you better behold. You better realize that, hey, there's something that I need to be aware of. There's something that I need to know. I need to perceive this. Behold, He said, I have set before thee an open door. What I have to say to you in this church, that God has set before you an open door. An open door. God has set before you an open door. Not because of anything that you have done. No, but because you have obeyed Him. Because you have gone His way, because you have desired His will, because you have trusted Him and depended upon Him, I have set before you an open door. God has an open door set before you. As a church and as a people, if you're obedient to Him, I have set before you an open door. And again, it's a door that no man can shut. Pastor, you don't have to fear. If this is of God and you're being obedient to Him and you're sensitive to the Spirit, you don't have to fear about that door being shut. That door is open. And when that door is open, it has God's blessings and God's provision and God's benefits. God is in the midst of it. I have set before you an open door. That's the word that God has for this church. It's an open door. You say, well, does that mean that, you know, 5,000 people? I don't know. I don't know what that means. It means an open door in which God's presence and God's glory, however many that God wants to bring here, you have to trust Him for that. That is up to Him. But you have to believe Him that His glory and His presence and His power is going to be in your midst. When there's an open door, God says, I'm in the midst of it. I'm in the midst of it. And no man, no flesh can shut it. An open door to His kingdom, to His power, to His glory. No man can shut that door. And then He said this. He said, thou hast a little strength. What did He mean by that? Here He is. He's commending this church. He has positive things to say about this church. And then He would say, you have a little strength. What did He mean by that? Well, it doesn't mean that they were weak in faith. That statement there, you have a little strength, it simply means that you are small in number. You're small in number. That's all that means. It's referring to the remnant. You see, those who really put their trust and dependence upon the Holy God, they live in Him, they desire Him, they do His will, they live in the power of His Spirit. It's always going to be a small number. Always going to be a remnant. Remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus, he had the multitudes following Him. He had fed the 5,000. He had done many miracles. And as a result of Him feeding the people and the miracles that He did, that multitudes followed Him. Remember that? You see, multitudes will follow when they are being satisfied. Multitudes will follow the Laodicean church, the bless me God. The God who is, as Peter would say, whose God is their belly, meaning they use God to satisfy their own need, selfishly. This was the case with this multitude that followed Jesus because He fed them, because He did great miracles. But if you remember, if you've read that recently, John chapter 6, Jesus would begin to tell them really what it means to be a disciple. He would say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Boy, that sounds pretty radical. I've told some people that I'm going to preach a message sometime called Cannibals for Christ. I don't know how well that would go over. But He said that, unless you eat my flesh and you drink my blood. What He meant by that statement was, unless you partake of my broken body on the cross of Calvary and drink the blood, partake of the blood that was shed. I'm not talking about a physical partaking, but spiritually, you put your faith, you put your trust, you put your dependence in what I will do on the cross of Calvary. Then He would say, you can be my disciple and you'll have life in you. That's the remnant, my friends. That's the remnant. The remnant who says, I'm selling all out to God. The remnant who says, I'm presenting myself to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. I'm yielding myself unto God as one who is alive from the dead. I'm committing myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm partaking of what He did on the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to be a carnal Christian. I'm not going to depend upon my own strength, but I'm yielding to the provision of God and what God provided for me in Christ, and I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to have His way in my life. That's the remnant. That's the remnant. That's always going to be a small number. There's a church about 3 hours west of here. I'm not going to mention the name of it. But it's the Laodicean church. It's a very large church. About 45,000. It's the Laodicean church. It does not lift up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it'll mention every now and then Jesus, the cross. But it does not emphasize that blood. It's a big church. The Laodicean church is a big church. It's a fat church. It looks good externally. It looks good religiously. But the remnant church has a deposit of the Spirit of God and has the power of God and has the presence of God. Although you be small in number, he said, you have a little strength. But I've given you an open door to the realm of my kingdom, an open door to the realm of my Spirit. I've given you everything that you need, although you be a remnant. Then he says this. He says, and you have kept my word. This is the prerequisite now. This is the requirement, if you will, the condition, if you will, if you're going to be this Philadelphia church, is you have to keep his word, meaning you have to be obedient to him. That's what that means. Keeping the word of God means you're obedient to God and his way. And I'm here to tell you today that God's way is Calvary. To summarize it, God's way is a sacrifice. God's way is the cross. God's way is deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow after him. God's way is trust and depend upon Jesus Christ. Give your life completely to him and allow the Spirit of God to have his way in your life. That's God's way. That's God's way. That's keeping his word. That's obeying him. You've kept my word. You've obeyed me. You've come the way that I've told you to come. You've partaken of me. You've eaten the flesh of my son and drank his blood. You partook of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You've kept my word. And then he says this, you have not denied my name. What does that mean? You have not denied my name. That's a very, very... There is a wealth of profound information in that statement right there. You have not denied my name. Denied in itself, it means to contradict, it means to disavow, it means to reject, it means to refuse. He's saying, you haven't refused me. You've accepted me. You've accepted who I am, and you've accepted what I've provided for you in Christ. You see, most of the church, even Christians, they deny the name of God by the fact that they don't believe in his sacrifice. They don't believe in what he provided for them. But he's saying to this church that you have not denied my name. And incidentally, the name refers to his covenant. His covenant. You have not denied my covenant. Now, where was the covenant cut? At the cross. Blood had to be shed. The covenant was cut. Man could not keep that covenant within himself, between himself and a holy God. It took the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, to come down to this earth and to die on the cross. And the covenant has really nothing to do with you. All you have to do is believe it. So the name, when he says, you have not denied my name, the name refers to the covenant. The covenant refers to the cross. In essence, what he's saying is, you have not denied the cross. You say, but, you know, brother, I'm born again. I haven't denied the cross. You can be saved and still be neglecting the provision that God has afforded you through Calvary. You can be denying the name. Denying the cross, denying the provision of God. So, this Philadelphia church, this faithful church, they are someone that they have embraced the name. The name. Remember, Jesus would say when you read the gospel, in my name, you shall do thus and so. You shall have authority in my name. You shall cast out devils in my name. The name speaking of the covenant of what he would do on Calvary's cross. So the remnant of God has not denied the name, the covenant, the cross. In other words, they're faithful to God's way, faithful to God's provision, faithful to live their life in Christ. They have not, you know, in Hebrews 10:29, if in fact Paul wrote Hebrews, He was correcting these believers or trying to get them back on track, back to dependence upon the covenant, dependence upon the New Testament, dependence upon Christ. And he would say to them that you have trodden underfoot the Son of God. You have called the blood of the covenant whereby he was sanctified an unclean thing, and you have done despot unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, they denied the name. These were believers, but they had denied the name. He's saying, you need to correct that. You need to correct that. You need to make that right. You need to repent, and you need to get back on track, and you need to embrace what I've provided for you in my Son, and you need to now live your life in Him and walk in Him if you want to be a part of this remnant church. So, Pastor, you continue to lift up Jesus. Continue to lift up that bloodstained banner. Lift up the cross. And this church will be a beacon of light in this area, and God will do great things. Don't deny the name. Be obedient to Him. Recognize, because of your faithfulness to obey Him and be faithful to the covenant, that recognize that that door is open before you, and no man, no flesh can shut that door. Nobody can shut that door, because God is in it. God is in it. God has opened it. God has made a way where there was no way. He has provided. He set before you an open door, church. Will you go through that open door? Will you be faithful to the call? Will you be faithful to the name, faithful to the covenant, faithful to live your life in Him, faithful to depend upon Him and not depend upon the arm of your flesh, but to trust Him and to live your life in Him? See, that's what Christianity is all about, living your life in Him, depending upon the cross, what He's provided, depending upon the blood, and living your life in Him. That's Christianity, and obeying Him. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love You today. Lord, I thank You once again for these people. I thank You, Lord, for the work of Your Spirit, Lord God. And Father, I just pray for the convicting power of Your Spirit right now to rest upon the hearts of Your people, Lord. Father, whatever the need is today, if anyone needs salvation today, Lord God, that they would accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, if anyone needs the baptism in the Holy Ghost here today, Lord, that they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing. Lord, You are the one who meets our needs, Lord God, because we are in covenant with You. Father, if anyone here needs a touch from You, they need healing. They need deliverance. They need You to do something deep within their heart. God, You are able. And Father, we're believing You to do it today, Lord God. We say these things in Jesus' mighty name. Be glorified in this place. We love You and we thank You. Amen and amen. Pastor.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for the open door. You know, I know each and every one of us in here has a heart for God. You know why I know that? Because you're here. And I'm here. We have a heart for God. And I know every one of us want to serve Him like the Philadelphia church. That door will stay open. And we will seek Him. And we will honor Him with all of our hearts. You see, He's looking, God is just looking to be number one.
Yes, that's right.
That's what He wants. He doesn't want to be number two or number three or four. He just wants to be number one in our lives. And I know we are striving with everything within us as our faith is in Him for Him to be number one. Amen. Amen. Pastor, thank you for that word. We certainly do appreciate it. Certainly do appreciate it. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? If you would get ready. As you stand this morning, we are going to pick up an offering for Pastor Borg. We do want to thank him for coming today and sharing with us. If you can just come on up. You can just come on up. Amen. Amen. If you want to make out a check, just make it out to Gaydon International Church or just GIC, whatever. If you need an offering envelope to put money in or whatever so we can keep tabs of it, raise your hand and we'll get it to you. Just want to make sure. One right here, Leonard. Mr. Charlotte needs one. Anyone else? Because, you know, hey, why not be able to use it at the end of the year? It's coming up. I know nobody wants to think about it, but January 1st is coming. Amen. 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 Praise God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to give. And Father, we thank you for sending Pastor Borg here. And Father, we pray that we can be a blessing to him, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. You just pass it and just put it in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, amen. Now the fun starts. Get to eat. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for the food and then we'll give directions on that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the provision of food that you've given unto